humans, and welcome to Audio Face. This is episode 113. We're an irreverent podcast about music, news, music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
I am Sean.
And we have not only episode 113, but we have No Chill Island 13 later on this episode.
It was like Friday the 13th last week.
Yeah, this is a big... Maybe I should make the subtitle of the episode 13, but spelled like 6-9. Even though you probably can't do that with teens.
I was going to say, can you even do that with teens?
You can spell black with a 6, you can do this with teens. I'm going to figure it out. Okay.
All right, Tumblr Dan.
Who knows, okay? This is going to be a very saucy episode. In addition to the No Chill Island segment, which will be later on in the show, we have 3 music reviews. We have M83...
Digital Shades.
Yes. Volume 2.
Le 2.
And I had an interesting interaction with...
one Anthony Gonzalez.
Who created this album, who had some choice words for something I said about the album, and so we'll be talking about this very shortly. But we also have some... some, like, other albums that we talked about that kind of came out earlier this year.
Yeah.
And...
We finally get to talk about them.
Actually, not really this year. Earlier this month, sorry. Yeah. It's
been a technically long earlier this year.
Yes, so. Yes, that is also true. Also true was Antonio Brown being on the Oakland Raiders earlier this year. That was a fact.
Anyways, Is He Real by IDK and The Return by Sampa the Great?
Yes, that is how you say the album names. And just really fast, because we usually don't do this at the end of the episode, we'll do this at the beginning because it might be one. Don't forget, if you like this podcast, the best way to actually help us is to just tell people about it. And the second best way to help us is to just like rate it and review it on whatever's app you're listening to, especially if it's Apple Podcasts. And the third best thing you could do is follow Audio Face Pod everywhere. We're at Audio Face Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and go to youtube.audioface.show to subscribe to us. Those are all fun things. Next week, by the way, we have Kanye West, Tegan and Sarah, and the New Pornographers. They're all releasing music, Kanye West allegedly. So yay, that'll be interesting. Ooh. And there is some more stuff that's supposed to be a gospel album, apparently, but whatever. There is some more stuff that came out in September that we haven't been able to talk about. We'll filter it in through the next weeks because it's just like really good.
It's been
a really long month. Anyways, the first story we have today in news before we get to our first album review is Aaron Carter is extremely normal. He's doing okay, and no one should worry about him at all. Aaron Carter is the former... Backstreet Boy.
Mm-hmm.
He is refusing to give up his allegedly 500 guns. There's a picture of him on the Doctors, that daytime doctor show. No, that other daytime doctor show.
The other doctor show where none of them are actually doctors, and it's just all...
No, doctor show actually has doctors. Don't sue. So he's just holding up a bunch of like pills, and it's just like not looking great. But
okay.
Yeah.
There's a picture of him with an AR. And he has apparently multiple personality disorders, schizophrenia, and acute anxiety. And
yeah.
He has 500 guns.
If anything, God bless the USA. But Nick Carter has to file a restraining order against Aaron Carter. It kind of happened on Twitter, which was kind of bad.
How does a restraining order happen on Twitter?
So, like, the restraining order was announced on Twitter. Announced it on Twitter, yes. Because, you know, it's going to go out to the press. It's going to get leaked. It happens. He said that he cited his brother's, quote, increasingly alarming behavior and his recent confession that he harbors thoughts and intentions of killing my pregnant wife and unborn child.
This guy,
We were left with no choice but to take every measure possible to protect ourselves and our family. We love our brother and truthfully hope he gets the proper treatment that he needs before any harm comes to himself or anyone else. This was after that appearance in the Doctors where he was extremely normal. Aaron Carter then tweeted out, "Take care, at Nick Carter, we're done for life." So, it's a little bit of a family feud there.
You are not the father.
Aaron Carter also said that his family's been trying to get him 5150'd, as in, like, taken, mm-hmm. You call into the police to report someone is having there's no good term for this, but like mental breakdown that could be violent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of drama going there.
That's not good.
Hope you don't die. Bye, bye, bye. Okay. Let's just go into the deal.
Let's just move the hell on. Please, Jesus Christ. So M83 released Digital Shades Volume 2, which is 15 songs, 56 minutes long, and this guy's about to whip out his phone right now and just drop some knowledge, apparently.
No, I'm actually not going to. I'm going to save this for a little bit later, because that's how you tease. If you didn't, because I clipped this out, so I'm going to, like, re-explain it, but, like, M83 and I had a little conversation about this album. It's a really quick one. And it was a little interesting. We'll talk about it later on the review, but I want to talk about our thoughts about the album first.
Well, so Digital Shades Volume 1, which came out 07, maybe? Let's see. How's my music knowledge?
Drum roll, please. Digital Shades Volume 1 came out in 2007. Yes, it was Boom. 10 songs long. Nice job, Sean.
Never a doubt. Because I know it came out right before Saturdays Equal Youth. That one was just a bunch of sounds and things that he made, but didn't quite fit different albums that he was doing. So that's kind of the idea of Digital Shades Volume 2, is because he's had a lot of works recently where he did soundtrack. He had Junk, which was kind of a pivot from his previous album before that. And so he just made a bunch of stuff, and he said that he was very inspired by 80s synth pop and stuff. And you can definitely hear that throughout the album. It's very, it has an overlying theme of a high-pitched keyboard.
I mean,
basically.
I would go a step further and kind of say, because I read a little bit more about this when looking into this album and doing the review of this, is that, yes, you're kind of right on the mark. He's inspired by 80s synth pop, but what you can also kind of describe 80s synth pop, like a subgenre of 80s synth pop, is what we now call chiptune, which is just like 16-bit video game music.
Oh, I was gonna get to that at some point. I was gonna say, deadass sounds like a video game music.
Yeah, and he was really inspired by video game music in addition to those things.
Which
and
I think is really cool, because some video game music is phenomenal. It gets very underrated compared to, like, movie soundtracks and stuff. But there's some games that I play, I go, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah. There's games now where, like, they get really good soundtracks. There's different kinds. There's the kinds where it's,
There's Halo soundtrack. There's, like, Bethesda game soundtracks. And there's
Rockstar game soundtracks where they use, like, commission music. Mm-hmm. There's different ways you can do it, but it's very, like, orchestral and it's a grand production. But back when there were technological limitations, you're kind of back on keyboards. And
it reminded me of RuneScape back in the day.
RuneScape. Story?
Did you ever play Maple Story? A little bit, not much. I was more a RuneScape guy.
Fair enough.
I'm
a huge nerd.
Yeah, I was deep state in RuneScape. Like, I played that way too much. But that's what this album really made me think about, was that there's a couple tracks in here that were absolutely fantastic, and then there's others where it was just that... basically just instrumental themes. It was just the overlying kind of a soundscape that would go up and down. I talked about this last week, where I love tracks that build. And there were a couple tracks that really did that. Feelings did that. I cannot speak French. I'm German. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And
never mind. It's the Franco-German region.
Right. And Jeu d'Enfant, which comes right after, which is the ninth song. And those tracks I liked a lot because they did that. They built up.
It's very ambient music is what you're getting here, basically.
Yeah, it's quite ambient. The Luna Phil had a really nice drum and bass beat that was coming up, and then had keyboards that would overlay on top and keep building and building. But yeah, I quite enjoyed it. It's definitely a lot different compared to his previous works. It's way more upbeat and happy, for sure. Because Digital Shades Volume 1 had more of his vocals. I don't recall anything of him doing vocals on DS Volume 2. But on Volume 1, there was some stuff with him doing it, because that's when he started to really experiment with his vocals before he did Saturdays Equal Youth and The Little Hurry Up Regiming.
Right.
Because those ones, he purposely did that, but Junk he did, and this one is almost it's very much instrumentation, which is a pivot, but I like it. It goes into my theme of do something fucking different, which I always love, especially in electronic music. I know you didn't like Junk much when he changed it. There was some stuff I liked in it, but as an album in whole, I was kind of disappointed. This I do enjoy. It's something that you can't really blast in a car unless it's like you're stuck in traffic or something. You can kind of zone your brain out, but it's really nice music to have in the background of something, or to have it as like you're working out or running or doing something where you can kind of zone out your brain a little bit. I like some early Siguro stuff.
Yeah.
Like that, just theirs is instruments instead of electronics.
So. Yeah. So my thoughts on it, and I think I kind of want to start with the beginning of what you said, because in your description of it, when we talked about the announcement of it, and in what you just said just now, mm-hmm. it's kind of songs that wouldn't fit on a normal M83 album. And that's mm-hmm. not necessarily because it's a bad thing, it's because it's like...
He just makes a lot. He's yeah. creating so much.
And he was even saying, he was talking about how he didn't want to have the pressure of having to make like a pop hit
exactly.
on this album. And there's like no pop hits on this album.
Which is fine.
Whereas M83 is known for their, you know, pop hits for, yeah. usually. So I, if you follow me on Instagram at Dan from the Internet, you've actually seen that I do these like... New Music Friday things, where I actually preview the albums that we're going to be reviewing on Audioface. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be doing that on the @AudiofacePod Instagram account, so you should check that out as well. So you'll be able to get those kind of like updates. You can listen along with us, because I think that's cool. And then you can listen and recommend us stuff too. Just saying. But I posted that basically M83 dropped an album for songs that didn't fit on other albums, kind of highlighting that this is going to sound a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I usually tag the artists in there, and yeah. so M83 responded back saying,
"Holy hell, he wrote you a paragraph."
He said, "Not true, but you can't please everyone. Sorry you didn't like it." So it was kind of like one of those internet misinterpretation things.
Definitely misinterpretation.
Yeah, where, and I kind of
that's funny.
Yeah, and I kind of explained like what we were saying on here, how mm-hmm. I maybe misread an article that was like about the rollout of the album, but I thought that this was going to be, you know, you're not feeling pressured to make poppy songs. Yeah. We're doing something that is allowing me to make something different. And I noted that like I like when artists do something different. Mm-hmm. How I felt about it on first listen is how I'm going to describe it literally right now. I was definitely really interested. I usually expect, I guess, closer to the poppy hits that M83 is kind of going with here. But you still get these like grand pieces that mm-hmm. you can only do in, like I said, like chiptune, really?
Yeah,
like,
pretty much.
Chiptune is also kind of full of these orchestral pieces that you can only find these long, it's almost like classical music, really, where you have...
Yeah, I mean, there is a track that's Jeu d'enfant, which is just piano.
Yes.
It's just a piano piece, which I was like, yes, give me more.
Yeah.
Inject that in my veins.
Yeah, it's really good, and that was one of my favorite tracks as well. And so it's not gonna fit into anything you've kind of, it's not gonna fit into popular music in 2019.
No, not at all.
No shit, that's kind of how you come into the album. But it sounds great, like it's really beautiful. It's gonna fit like a certain mood, so it's mm-hmm. like not gonna be very playable in any time, but it's not really trying to do that, and that was like the outset from the start. This is why we should like create space for artists to be able to say, hey, I'm going to have like two different sidetracks of projects, because sometimes I feel a little bit of this vibe, yeah. sometimes I feel a little bit of that vibe, because I'm creative.
This is a lot like when Siguro did their liminal release, and where it's just soundscapes. It's like that, where like, we're in the midst of figuring shit out with our band, we don't want to have, I guess they also said they don't want to have a pressure of really making a big top album, which they've released some singles and other songs, but they're like, that's just, we've done some scapes, here it is, and this is what that is for M83. M83 is one of my top 10 favorite artists.
Yeah.
Like, in total. So, that's kind of cool that he reached out to you, but
definitely
misinterpeted what it was.
And then, like, once I kind of explained it, he, like, liked the post and said, oh, okay, I get it, so, all cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I told him that I would correct myself and explain it in the review, so here
go,
it is out
listen
there.
The review.
Post it.
Yeah.
Maybe M83 listens to Audioface.
Maybe he listens to Audioface. I'd be down as hell for him to listen to Audioface.
So, one really last thing, I want to mention the last song on here is one that's like really
Temple
great
of Sorrow.
Album finishers, Temple of Sorrow.
Yeah, because that was a single that came out, and he did the a video on it as well. We'll be right back. video is pretty cool, how it's like the production of it and whatnot. It's very different. I mean, that's, he's just a big artist guy.
Yeah.
So
he's a big music guy.
That. Yeah. Just the visual artist, because a lot of his music videos are just out there and awesome. So
yeah,
I like it. It's very different from his previous works, but it's good. It's definitely good. Also, his soundtrack he did earlier in the year is quite interesting as well. So I think he had some inspiration from doing that. All right, arbitrary scale, because that's how we do Audio Face.
Yeah,
because we don't like putting numbers or things next to albums, because that's not how we do it.
Yeah, the arbitrary scale this week is going to be Antonio Brown's 2019. It's going to be based on the month, and the more recent that month
former NFL player, because apparently today he announced that he's probably not going to play in the NFL because he doesn't like the owners.
He was fired from the New England Patriots for sexual misconduct, and it was after he was fired from the Oakland Raiders
for being an asshole, and then fired from being Pittsburgh Steelers because he just never showed up to work.
Like, this ain't no Kaepernick. Like,
this exactly. He's just a dick.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But there was a time where, you know, looked like he was kind of balling. I'm going to say that's around March 2019 because he had just signed his 3-year extension with about guaranteed $30 million. I wonder how much pen went to paper on that.
Right.
But, you know, this is a pretty like top of the top album, you know?
This is that solid day when he got signed with when the New England Patriots gave him a bone and he fished that bone out and they gave it to him. That was a solid day. I'm like, really? The Patriots are getting Antonio Brown. He scored a touchdown for them and everything.
When Tom Brady was like, you can come in my home. It's all good.
Exactly.
It's going to be great.
Open arms, open door policy, you know? It was good. That's this album.
I'm like Brett Stevens, who invited and say, hey, would you say that to me and my wife? Would you?
That's kind of wild.
Yeah.
So, but this is T.I.
Man, that's T.I.
So, T.I., we was on a panel. I don't even know what the panel was. Like, I know because I think Killer Mike was on it or some other shit too, right?
I forget. It was like some
conversation of basically African Americans saying how it's the state of the state.
Yeah, it was the Revolt Summit panel.
There,
so Revolt TV
you.
Is like a brand.
Yeah, that's the best way you could explain it.
Yeah.
So T.I. basically went against Candace Owens, who's a giant idiot.
Candace Owens is like Dave Rubin, but a black woman. Basically.
She's worse than Dave Rubin. Because Dave Rubin at least kind of like stumbles upon his own stupidity. Candace Owens owns her own stupidity.
Yeah, and this is someone who kind of rose to fame by like defending Kanye West's turn to like MAGA Trumpism.
Yes.
So like that's why this has all kind of had this weird musical space to it. But T.I. said that, let me start off by saying she's a sister and I support her brilliance, saying it's like, okay, I understand, like you're black, I think you're smart and like really like well-spoken and strong in the way you speak.
You speak so clearly.
I'm not necessarily against her personally, but a lot of views and rhetoric she spews is dangerous. I'm not saying every black person needs to be a Democrat. I'm not speaking on behalf of her or in support of the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. I'm speaking for fair, righteous, and decent. There's just certain things that you have to understand you can't say. I don't want to come off in any way disrespectful to me. It's her thing. It's me saying what she's saying thing. It's me against what I feel she's representing type thing. So it's like, there are some lines you don't cross, for example. And I think T.I. is making a point that there are certain things the Trump administration has done or tried to cover up doing that are unacceptable for a lot of people. Just how I think Obama giving healthcare to people was unacceptable to a lot of people. They decided to become the Tea Partiers.
So,
do you want to read that?
The big thing that was came on for here was they were talking about this slogan, Make America Great Again. And he goes, when was America great? Like, what period do you want to go when it's great? It's like, what period are we talking about? The period when women couldn't vote? The period when we were hanging from trees? Or the crack era? Which period in America are you trying to make America like again?
Yeah. And
that's wild.
Yeah, Candace Owens.
It's a
like,
point.
Candace Owens was trying to like answer a different question.
Exactly.
And T.I. called her out on it. And then Candace Owens said, "You're not letting me answer the question." And T.I. said, "You're not answering the question."
Question that he asked first. So
yeah,
T.I. somehow was smart.
I mean,
I'm surprised.
We kind of went hard on T.I. a little bit last year because he just straight copied J. Cole's Canada with Count It Up, absolutely.
Like, not even close,
J. Cole's Count It Up in that song with Canada.
Canada.
Yeah. It was just really sad, so we didn't even entertain that.
So, but you know, maybe he's in redemption. Maybe he's been watching like Tark Ali or some random shit and be like, oh, I've got a political awakening.
Ideas. So let's move on to IDK. He released an album, Is He Real?
I believe. Is He Real by IDK?
Yes.
It's a 14.
Well, Is He Real has the question mark.
Is He Real by IDK?
Is He Real by IDK?
Exactly.
It's kind of like how it should be put.
Yeah, 14 songs, 35 minutes long, so it's a little short album for y'all.
Yeah, I think it's a nice, like, way more cohesive than a drop. And like a little bit longer than a drop, and I think like more kind of set as an album. I think this is his like major label debut too. So
It's interesting to say the least. There's songs that are trap but not trap. That's the best way I can explain it. It has kind of a trap overlaying theme, but there wasn't a lot of trap snare, but there's trap drum.
Not much if I even noticed it yet.
And his rapping was rap. It was hip hop and rap. But mixed with some of them mixed with trap beats. So that was interesting to hear that. Because, you know, trap is always, it has trap sound, everything. But this is more of a combination of two rap genres together, hip-hop and trap. And it was good. There was a couple tracks. The start of it, Cold Blue and 4200 Choices. My mama told me go to church. I was sitting 10 rows from the first day, dreaming about everything I probably get if I take the lady in front of me's purse and run out the back door, nigga. If he act whore, ask for my relationship with the Lord. Shit, you can tell at the service I'm bored. Oh no, should I rather be on a resort? Oh no, should I rather be. Those two were more hip hoppy tracks. I really liked how those started. Alone got more into the trap area of it. But overall, I did actually quite enjoy it. I like it when there's shorter songs in rap. I think that's because I liked MF Doom and Bishop Nuru so much, and they make
shorter
songs.
They're kind of trailblazers in that sense.
And those are my favorite songs because it makes you wanting more. And the problem is, lately, especially trap, is we've had albums that are just way too damn long, songs that are way too long where they just get repetitive and boring. But this is definitely not repetitive or boring. Also, they don't cut off early. They don't do that thing where if it's a minute and a half long, it doesn't just cut off and be like, oh, what happened to the song? No, it's just a really condensed version of something. But
it gets to the point.
Exactly.
Really.
It's very efficient and it's good for a genre that I think really needs that right now. The whole album, it's production-wise, it's good. It doesn't seem corny. Lyrics don't seem corny either. It seemed very well put together and everything, but
yeah, I
quite enjoyed it.
It sort of like goes through this, Is He Real is kind of referring to God and a deity, because has this sort of inner dialogue or internal dialogue represented by him and his friends of like, here's why I don't believe in God, or here's why I don't trust all these things. Cloud Blue is like, oh, imagine a heaven, JK, it doesn't exist.
Yes.
It's sort of this interesting sort of dichotomy, but it also explores like, I guess, morality and love and those sort of
those
concepts.
Underlying themes and stuff, which is most of the point of believing in a deity.
Yeah, and the kind of argument against it is that like you can go through these things and kind of work through these things and come to conclusions, some of which that are more just than the Bible, and some of them less just than the Bible, but like you can kind of have them there. But I also like how there's cohesion. There are a couple songs, it's doing the chick, chick, chick thing, but like a lot of artists are now doing this where two songs are put next to each other and they kind of flow into each other both thematically and
that's happened throughout music, but it's been a theme of 2019.
It's happened a lot in the latter half of this year.
The second half of summer until now, it's been happening a lot. I thoroughly enjoy it. I love songs that connect. Tory Maude does that a lot, not in his past album, but in Boo Boo he did that a few times. Like Mirage went straight into the second track. I love cohesion like that, because then it brings an album, makes it feel like a full album. Because sometimes that happens with artists where artists have albums that sound so similar, especially in rap, that you can kind of pick and choose a song and you don't know where it is. But I think this album, you're going to hear, definitely Is He Real.
Like
anything in this album, you're going to pinpoint that to this album. Like, or any song that we'll pinpoint to this album.
Like Lily goes straight into Porno and they're both like kind of love songs.
Yeah, they're definitely
like
love songs.
Takes on them,
definitely. I was going to say, Porno is a funny song. I was like, All right.
Yeah.
Bart Simpson, no OJ. It ain't fit, so she must have quit. Take my Johnny Cochran out and sit it on her pretty lips. Sex addict with no intent to ever quit. This what happens when you expose the porn at the age of 6. Chase fast hoes, it don't work like that. If a rich nigga flirt, they gon' flirt right back. They gon' kiss you on the mouth, they gon' tell you the one. If you let a hoe free, guarantee they'll run like. I am not a fan of the bullshit. 2020 vision right through shit. Bullshit. I'll step on your heart and abuse it.
That's one way to do it.
And it's funny, like, December and European skies also go together, but they're way different. And December almost has almost like a dance hall groove rap kind of thing. And my first thought was, wow, this is like what Drake is trying to do, but significantly better.
But actually good, not fake Jamaican.
Yeah. And then No Cable and Digital had that same like really good juxtaposition as well. Mm. So it's just like a really a lot of good stuff that came in this album. This album came out earlier in September, so we are like kind of getting late to reviewing it.
Yeah.
But we got to put it in there somewhere because maybe it wins an award of some kind and so it qualifies.
Maybe. Anyways, it's a good album. So let's see. What Antonio Brown 2019 is this? This is this is when he got released from the Patriots, but he tweeted that he had a good time and thanked the team for putting this trust in him and all of that shit.
Yeah, actually, no.
Like, the remorse.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to put that because that's after the rape charges came out.
Shit. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm going to move up from the Patriots a little bit.
Oops. Sorry, this is when... Okay, didn't he say that to the Oakland, I think, or did he, like...
I'm going to say this is August 3rd when he was posting pictures of his blistered feet saying that he couldn't appear in practice, but actually he was just at a chirogenic therapy chamber and forgot to wear shoes.
That's right, I forgot.
It's a minus 200 degrees for those of you who like live in normal parts of the country where you don't just randomly walk in a chirogenic chamber. Like,
what the fuck is a chirogenic tomb? It's called called Los Angeles, all right?
Yeah, it's just...
It's the most LA thing in the world to do.
This is what happens when Joe Rogan talks about his sex life too much. It's really just like how we end up with this kind of random shit. But that was our arbitrary scale this week, and this is a pretty good album. This is a really rap shit.
I like it. Anyways,
this is some audio face shit.
I totally forgot that Maddie Healy was on the cover of Fader, and that's like the randomest shit in the world.
It's really strange because we look at Fader a lot for some articles, like in addition to other sources to keep it fair, balanced, and unafraid on audio face. But that was a thing. I think that's where I found out that Biba Doobie was also on Dirty Hit.
Yeah, because he talked about them. I had no idea they were on Dirty Hit, but she was on Dirty Hit.
I'm sure you didn't, Sean.
No, I actually didn't. I was surprised. When you told me that, I was like, shit.
Listen, just cut me into those checks when they start coming, all right?
All right, I will.
Okay,
but so... you know my music knowledge, so... So
Whitney Houston...
Oh, God damn, another fucking hologram.
An Evening with Whitney begins UK in February 2020. We have talked about this over and over again.
Stop with the fucking holograms!
RIP headphone users.
Mommy has shove my mic in my mouth and really make sure that you get the idea of stop fucking holograms. We don't need it. No one needs it. It was kind of cool when Tupac did it, but it was weird. And Snoop Dogg thought he was tripping out on balls, which he probably is anyways. Because, you know, Snoop Dogg. But we don't need it. It's weird. Stop it. We've talked about it in length. Just end it.
It was authorized by the Whitney Houston estate, which maybe they just maybe this is just a thing we can't stop. Maybe it's now happening where legally they're putting this in their contracts like, hey, do you want to be a hologram? And they're actually signing off on this after they go. Because we are getting kind of late into this. Whitney Houston,
we did talk about that with different estates. Like, some people saying, don't make me a hologram, and others saying, make me a hologram. That's fucking kind of, what is the world? We live in a simulation.
Yeah.
Where in your contract, when you die, you have to put, do you want me to resurrect you as a hologram? Yes or no.
You have to write something on your neck, like one of those do not resuscitate things. But it's...
All right, and Grand Theft Auto, cut here.
Oh my God, that guy went hard.
Trevor was kind of wild.
Trevor was extremely wild. Anyways, let's talk about The Return by Sampa the Great. 19 songs long, an hour and 17 minutes. I can describe this best as a woman's Bishop Nauru.
Yeah, with Afrobeats.
Yeah. She's
definitely... Her voice is interesting because there's a couple tracks where it was kind of... I didn't like... I'm trying to... Shit, I'm totally blanking on what it was. I should have wrote it down. But there's a track that she did on the album that her voice sounded kind of, I wouldn't say whiny, but really high-pitched and kind of annoying. Hmm. But there was only one track that did that. But I think she was experimenting with it. The rest of the album was fucking amazing. I like the opening track, Moana, if I'm saying that right. It just comes out banging.
I guess I found my fortune. I don't need home to feel important, but I need a feeling of peace. I'm not broken, searching for size for getting in to the ether. Wonder if my sisters believe it, not through my DNA. It's searching for what's inside of me. Physically displaced, this
it comes out with a really nice overlaying drum beat. She goes into her lyrics. It's awesome. I enjoy it. It's different. I have never heard of her before. I don't think we've, have we done anything?
I did maybe a music recommendation of her because the song Final Form, which is on this album, was a single that came out before this, and it was fucking in my head for weeks. And it's just a really like powerful song.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic song.
Yeah. I talked about this in a previous version of previous episode of Audio Face, so check those out. And we do music recommendations like we
just we give each other way too much music recommendations.
Just flooding in music. That's why we just take breaks, because it's like
literally we have
so
to take
much.
Breaks because it's like
it's like otherwise
I can't
steam out of the brain.
Well, because then the main thing is to be objective with music, with our actual reviews, because then literally our brains become mush from how much we listen to, and then we can't fall back onto what we listen to throughout the year. So then when the end of the year awards this comes out, then there's like, all right, what did that sound like? And then I have to end up re-listening to a lot of things because maybe I listen to it twice in the year, but there's so much shit that's comes out. So.
Like we're two people doing a music podcast that's better than some of the music publications of staffs with 10 people.
Or staffs of 150 people. Let's be real here.
This does not allow music staffs of 150. Yeah. I'll be real dumb.
Well, I mean, like not we're anymore. Like, yeah, I was like, whoever, insert the most amount of people here.
25 is pretty sizable.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if Consequence of Sound had like a staff of more than 15.
Consequence of Sound is going to be pretty small. I know that.
Yeah.
Costs.
But anyways, Sampa the Great, it's full of a lot of really good stuff. I think the middle of the album for me is kind of where it kind of started to shine. But even in the beginning, like around Time's Up, it was really good.
Final Form is where it really started to get good for me.
And then Heaven was right after
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Really those two tracks, like, oh man.
Credit my maker, take a trip to see Jamaica. Molly spirit with the vapor, back to Zion, that's the nature. Africa, the new America, I hope I earn this permanent. At this, I put my pen in it, got my land and my permit with it. Bone on my bone, flesh on my flesh. Greatness in me, you can't make me feel less. Less hold, I'm not impressed. Best mode, got my afro like an empress. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in.
I didn't really hear Final Form. I might have heard it before. Like, you talk about your music recommendations, but I don't remember it. But Final Form, Heaven, and Diamond in the Rough. Rough spelled R-U-F-F. That's how I would spell it because fuck English. are three fantastic tracks. And I go, she's good. But yeah, that's like a comparison to her is a Bishop Nauru style of just kind of an unrelenting freestyle form of just going
switching
at it.
Into different types of flows.
Exactly.
Rapping a really good story, kind of very like Afrocentric, but also like empowerment themes.
Also experimenting with voice too. Some going low, some going high, like going up and down, trying to figure out something that works with the track that you're making. So.
The difference is this has significantly more collaborators than Bishop Nauru, I think, tends to work with.
Bishop Nauru doesn't work with many collaborators.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's what I think I like about him most.
He's sort of J. Cole. He kind of goes it alone.
Yeah, he has people produce his stuff, but that's it.
Yeah, a lot of stuff is he does a self-produce, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Strap Anthem.
Top 10 favorite songs of Audio Face, that's definitely in there.
Yeah.
Anyways, this has a bunch of features on it, but they don't overpower.
Absolutely
her.
Not. No, and they complement it.
Exactly. And that's always been my problem with most, and then I wouldn't say higher up musicians, but the more popular musicians, which I don't think should be popular because most of them make really shitty music. But a lot of their samples, or features, I should say, not samples, samples too, actually, they over they go overproduction wise, where it's just, it becomes a star fuck. And we've talked about that too many times. This is not one of those. It's, there's a lot of features on them, but all of them work together. It makes the album more complete in a whole, because I think with the way she raps, it needs, I like it where it has people in with it to complement it, because then you have people with different voices and they can go back and forth with each other and really make great tracks. And two, the impressive thing with me is, even with this amount of features, it still has an overlying theme of the album and it doesn't stray away from it. That's also another thing is, because you have so many minds of different people on an album, it can kind of stray, or it can go into a thing of where you just get into a really weird place. It doesn't do that at all, this album.
Right.
It stays, everything is extremely cohesive in it. So props, fantastic album.
If I could have one complaint, an hour and 17 minutes is kind of long.
Oh, I was gonna say, it got long as hell for me. Yeah, like, I'm not even lying, it was long for me.
And then there was one song, The Return, which I think is very beautiful, and it's also 9 minutes and 17 seconds
long. Yeah, the only people that need to be making 9 minute long songs are either House or Sigur Rós.
Yeah.
That's it. At the 1975 released something longer than the title track, I Like It When You Sleep, that was 6 minutes long. I'm looking at you, Maddie. Don't do that. Right. There's very few artists that can do that, or it also depends on the genre.
Yeah.
Because
this would have been a long album, even if, like, the last 3 songs, which are, like, some of the longer songs.
Yeah, because they're 9, 7, and 6.
It's about, like, 23, 24 minutes long, right? But even if you take 24 minutes out of this album, it's still, like, in the high 50s.
Yeah.
So that's, like, kind of long. I think IDK was a really good sweet spot. I think 35 to 45
for a rap album is my favorite, because then it doesn't drag on and have that issue.
Yeah.
But this is fantastic. This is, let's see.
Yeah, at least while it was like there taking time, it spent its time very well. But it is like, as a one listen through, as an album, kind of long to listen to. So I do have to like knock it a few points for that.
This is September 5th, 2019, when he goes, Brown publicly apologized for his for missing practices and said, I'm excited to be part of the Raiders and see you guys soon. Shortly thereafter, gets cut.
Brown, I'm going to do the day after that, where he posted a video on YouTube that was a recording of a phone conversation with his coach, who asked Brown if he wants to be a Raider and urges him to just play football. So just a little bit of like an awkward thing right before he goes to the Patriots. Because he's about to just
cut. You need to cut it.
Yeah. So that was it. Let's see some
one Jonathan Guy Greenwood, probably my favorite musical artist of the past 25 years. I like to say he launches his own new record label called Octatonic, because
Octatonic.
Yeah, it's, of course you have to make it a fucking word. I can't say. Damn it, Johnny. It's only dedicated to classical contemporary music. So, and it's also only meant for solo musicians.
Hmm. It's a solo classical contemporary musician. It's very, so people like, who are on their own making classical music in modern times today.
Exactly, which is kind of a niche thing, but there are plenty of artists that are doing that. But also, they don't have to only make their own thing as well. They can record other pieces and stuff. So some of them will be pieces that Johnny wrote himself, like 88, the 2 piano pieces he wrote, because he can't play that. He like physically can't play that. You need to be like a ridiculously good concert pianist to play it. And other stuff that he's made as well that just he hasn't been able to do. But he wants these wonderful musicians that are out there but aren't getting recognition they deserve, aren't getting voice, or not getting paid, because it's kind of a niche market that's hard to get out into. And I've talked about it before because of James Rhodes and stuff. I think this is awesome. He has a quote, let me see it. He said, I stand in awe of classically trained UK musicians. A 20-something carrying a cello case will always be more impressive than someone with a guitar. Which is almost like a kind of a kick to himself, because obviously he's the guitarist of Radiohead, one of the biggest bands, if not the biggest band in the world. And he said, it's just harder to do, it takes more commitment, and the sounds they make are so limitless, for all that the instruments they play are traditional. Which is exactly it. There's a whole universe of stuff. We've talked about it before with, here's a couple different pianists and stuff who are, like Kelly Moran, who are making crazy music and stuff that not too many people are talking about because it's not in the mainstream or it's not getting out there because not many people are exposed to it.
Like, it's classical music. We did, like, one of the more fascinating episodes of Audio Face back when I didn't understand audio editing, like, even worse than I did before. It was episode 38. I was looking back in the notes, and it was the Crime Nest Studios episode. Was that Trump tweet?
Yeah.
But, anyways, in the later part of that episode, we had a discussion that we'd been meeting had a long time about classical music. And you talked about, like, why it's really good, but ultimately it falls on the fact that there's a crumbling education system in America that...
In America, especially in general, in the world.
And music programs are the first to get cut. And so when kids could build this kind of appreciation for different kinds of music, especially classical, as a foundation to understanding even pop music and trap music today, that isn't really existent in the world anymore. And so that goes away, this sort of appreciation that used to be inbuilt for classical music, combined with, just to paraphrase what you said, combined with the sort of aura that it's something that you do when you're sophisticated. So it became like a class thing.
Exactly. And it's definitely not, because these musicians who wrote the music in 16, 17, 1800s were not that well off. A lot of them weren't that well off. There were some
pretty poor.
Yeah. Like Chopin, who's my favorite, he died penniless and broken heart, coughing his guts out. Because, you know, that's how you do it in music, baby. You do it for the love.
Welcome to life in the big city.
All right. It's real out here. So he said the first two releases should include music by Bach, Messiaen, Michael Gordon, and they plan to record some Steve Reich in next sessions. So that's amazing. I love this so much because it's really giving musicians a platform that they need to be creative. I mean, there are amazing artists out there. So yeah, awesome.
Absolutely.
Fucking Johnny, just Johnny being Johnny. Never stop being Johnny.
Yeah, and it's also, I guess I'll make one more point about this, not to be too much like of the Radiohead adulation podcast, even though this is literally called Audio Face.
Yeah, literally called Audio Face. We don't talk about Radiohead that often, people, so you can't yell at us.
It's really cool to see what Radiohead are doing later on in their music careers, because obviously they're kind of like in the like sunsetting part of their music
careers. Tom York can't make bad music. Johnny's...
continuing
can't
to
make
like
bad music.
Yeah.
He's beginning to really get into scores, other things as well.
Colin's doing his stuff on the side.
I know Phil Selway should be having an album soon, and Ed O'Brien, I like to say.
But like even beyond contributing to like the sounds we hear as people who consume music, they are also giving back to the music world and trying to bring
100%.
Up other artists,
which is amazing
go
to
in
see.
Different places, which is like really cool. It's like the best. It's really amazing to see. Just to kind of put a pin.
This is pretty cool, actually.
Yes.
Kendrick Lamar is a good kid. Mad City. It becomes the longest running hip hop album on Billboard charts.
Yes.
That's cool.
Previously, The Eminem Show from 2002 was one that held that record.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. But Good Kid, Mad City has been on the charts since basically 2012. And
it's a fucking phenomenal album.
It's like one of the... we're gonna have to actually probably do this soon, is like songs of the decade. That'd be a really cool like special episode, or like albums of the decade.
Oh wait, we have to do that because it's 2019 and goes to 2020, so oh shit, we do have to do that this year.
Maybe we can make that a bonus episode during winter break.
That's gonna be such a
fun episode.
You guys have no idea.
I have to do like a top, because we're Audio Face, maybe like a top 50 albums of the 2010 through 2019.
Yeah, I can do that.
Like, safely, very safely, Good Kid, Mad City falls on there.
Extreme safe. It's falling on there. I can say that now, as me. It is falling on there somewhere, for sure.
Yeah.
Good Kid, Mad City is there.
So, absolutely.
Like, I mean, goddamn, the 2010s, man. Whew. You got AM, dog. You got... it's just, I can't.
We
literally go on a tangent for an hour.
And lastly, before we go into No Chill Island...
Oh my god, we're going to No Chill Island. Oh shit, I forgot about that.
And just a little tease, because we'll be talking a little bit about this. Taylor Swift suggests Two-Face Kanye West was behind the revelation of Drake's child.
Yes, again.
Which is actually one of the things that I've kind of been saying on Audio Face a lot. So it's weird that I actually agree with Taylor Swift. I'm pretty
sure she's 100% right.
Yeah, Kanye is the conduit between, who knows Drake and Pusha T? Kanye West. There are photos of both of them at the party. So, you know, they're at the party. It's in Wyoming. They're supposedly, like, secluded. It's where stars can go to mingle and talk. Hey, Drake, I gotta tell you about this thing. Hey, Push, I gotta tell you about this thing. And so that became collateral. So Swift has actually gone back and forth saying, I think Kanye West is the devil. And then because of the incident where Kanye West had a Kanye moment, let's say. and interrupted her appearance during the award show. We all know this.
Yeah.
So she's oscillated between Kanye's trash versus Kanye and I are good friends now. Now she's back on Kanye's trash, which I think is really funny.
All right. You do you, Taylor. But she's right on that, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. I'm absolutely 100%. Certain that that was...
Like, not even tripping.
Yeah. And so we should now get to the members-only portion of the show, a No Chill Island. So if you want to become a member, go to patreon.com/... No, we're just kidding. This is free.
Fuck that.
So,
yeah.
You could do this now.
I'm a socialist, and I don't want people to pay
for my podcast. I just
straight
don't feel like setting up for a Patreon.
Deadass, I don't feel like dealing with Patreon, so...
And also, I want to see how many advertisers we could fool into paying for the shit we're about to say.
It would be extremely telling on who listens to Audioface and who doesn't, because that would be like, sit and sleep. Sponsors Audioface. This Audioface is brought to you by Orthopedic Mattresses.
Men's Warehouse. You're gonna like the way you look. I guarantee.
Now let's talk about Kanye West.
No. First, let's intro.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to No Chill Island.
The rules are simple.
This is a show about morals. This is a show about morality and social justice and what you can and can't say.
Because, you know, it's PC culture.
The times that we live in today. So, simple rule. First one to get bleeped loses. But you have to make the hottest take you can without invoking the Mujahideens.
I could easily make the Mujahideens kill me right now just by just looking at these stupid fucking shoes that Kanye's had to make.
Yeah,
Kanye,
so,
you know, he has the really crappy Yeezy line already.
Yes.
But now he made new ones that look like futuristic Bezos Crocs.
They're the Yeezy Foam Runners. They kind of are shaped like Allbirds, but they have croc holes in them. Yeah.
First off, they look like they were made for about $2 in a Taiwanese factory that enslaves children.
I mean, first of all, Kanye West enslaves Taiwanese children.
Oh, Kanye West hell enslaves children. Did he make his t-shirts that were like $8,000?
Second of all, everyone's going to smell your like fucking stanky ass feet. Like, I'm not...
Oh, I don't have a problem with that. That's fine.
That's going to be... Okay.
My nose don't work.
For the non-smelling audience here. Okay, that's just... We have to talk about Yeezy's Crocs because that's how we
that's
ease in.
That's just then because... we ease in because they just... This makes me mad already and now... We're gonna
now,
get into
baby. Now, baby.
So,
Tekashi 6ix9ine has been singing.
So, welcome to the rap snitches, knishes portion, intro it right now. Telling all the business. First off, the video of Tekashi 6ix9ine's kidnapping was released by the Southern District of New York, and Dan's watched it first time live right here, yes. Dog. Oh yeah. My god, here it comes. Here's pretty boy Fizzy's fucking rainbow stupid face coming out right now.
Rip Frontier.
Super Rip Frontier.
Anyways, it's beautiful. So everything from the Tekashi 6ix9ine sort of saga is unraveling right now. Tekashi 6ix9ine is, of course, a rapper. He is now on trial and he's basically singing, telling all about his affiliation in gangs. And how the Nine Trey Bloods gang in New York kind of helped him with his career. They helped him propel his album Gummo kind of to the top of the charts through promotion, through sales, like a bunch of different like sort of schemes and shit like that. But things went south on something we laughed extremely about on Audioface a couple weeks ago. No, a couple, actually last year actually. The time when what are we at? We're at 7 minutes in?
Yeah, go to about like 7 minutes is when it gets saucy.
Yeah.
He just kidnapped from, you know? Oh my god, this is beautiful.
We can't recount the video, but like, go look for the video yourself. It's pretty funny. At least through in. But basically, the trial and where things got shaky for Tekashi 6ix9ine is when...
He started singing.
No, but he started singing because last year he got into an argument with one of his fellow gang members.
That's right.
And that gang member kidnapped him, was threatening his life to shoot him and everything.
Robbed him, beat him the fuck up.
Yeah.
How it works.
Yeah, you know, kind of shake you up. Because apparently Tekashi 6ix9ine was getting a little bit uppity about his position in the gang. Mm-hmm. And stuff like
He's got some uppity rainbow hair.
Yeah. And so, for the record, the Trey Street Bloods, what was it? I forget. I'm so fucking dumb. Nine Trey Gangs.
Nine Trey Gangs.
Yes. Nine Trey Bloods is the group, because I got this name normal.
Yes.
They were founded in Rikers Island, a really notorious prison over in New York. So they're like pretty intense. And so Tekashi 6ix9ine is basically staying against this really notorious gang, and everyone's kind of laughing on the internet because he's a fucking snitch.
He's a super snitch.
He's telling everything. So
he went, somebody grabbed him straight by the balls, squeezed him. He's like, and now he's just outing everybody. So apparently,
get the whole label sent up for years. That's why we have this music in the background right now, because it's just fucking hilarious.
Just keep going. I'm down.
Yeah.
New York's my origin. 6ix9ine, he claimed that Trippie Redd is a gang member.
Yes.
And he got in a whole beef with Trippie Redd because he was jealous.
Yeah.
Who the fuck gets jealous over someone who looks like Trippie Redd? First off.
Yeah, I need to go through this more. Hernandez maintained his main dispute was because there's jealousy involved. He was signed first and they had a song together. It was successful, and then it's just like petty male ego shit.
Because,
but it's not even like great petty male ego shit, because Daniel Hernandez.
Yes, Daniel Hernandez. Daniel Hernandez.
Daniel Hernandez is an Instagram bank. He is fake as fuck. He is fugazi as hell.
He always says, like, the definition of fugazi is,
yes,
Daniel Hernandez. So with Mr. Zed, he is, first off, if you get jealous off of one track from one dude who looks like he sniffed fucking Cocoa Puffs as a kid.
No. He looks like he snorted meth and became Clifford the Big Red Dog in this photo. Like, what the fuck is going on here, my guy? Like, you're about to teach me about math or something with the fucking scribbles
on your
forehead?
First off, if you idolize any of these two, you need to go home, read a book, and rethink your life, and maybe use a ceiling fan once or twice too, but you
need to enter the witness protection program.
Like Daniel Hernandez needs to do, because he's outing everybody, and they're gonna be on his ass like hounds.
Yeah, in addition to Trippie Redd, there was notes that, oh, I hear a helicopter, so maybe they're coming for us too. Mm-hmm. This is the time we announced we're part of the Nine Trey Bloods. The Tekashi 6ix9ine testified that Jim Jones was a member.
What? Jim? First off, I've not heard that name since 2005.
Jones, my guy.
Jim fucking Jones. Wow, all right.
Jim Jones, haven't heard of Jim Jones since 2005.
Seriously, it's a name I haven't heard in a million years, but okay.
So apparently he So for some reason, he was outed as a member, although this is just Tekashi 6ix9ine's embellishment, because he also said that Cardi B was a member.
Oh, what the fuck? He's just like laying out names. He's like, here you go, here's my card.
Yeah, and then Cardi B then responded with the Kiki meme, the Kiki Palmer meme, where it's like, I do not know this man. I have never seen this man before in my life. Cardi has previously said that she was affiliated with the Bloods of some kind, but it's like, Bloods are a network of gangs.
Bloods are everywhere.
So it's like not a tier nor there. But here, like, the point is, there's a song that MF Doom and Mr. Fantastic made called Rap Snitch Knishes. And it's about rappers who like, it is textbook this entire story.
Yes.
It's about rappers who tell on everyone, get the whole label sent up for years. I mean, literally, it has the line, lame rap snitch nigga even told on a Mexican.
And speaking of Mexican, Daniel Hernandez.
Yes, he's facing his time in court. This is just like a summary article about like everything.
Yeah, I know.
But it's just like,
I know. It's just funny.
What a fucking snitch. There was this little racial aspect to this, because Vince Staples was mouthing off on Twitter and said basically along the lines of like, Mexicans should be ashamed for
Daniel Hernandez. Like, first off. I love you, Vince. We named an award after you, but I can speak on behalf of my half of the family. You know, I have the Suarez name.
I have a
Z in my name on the end of it. I can have a Mexican pass.
My quarter pounder ass is not gonna.
Your quarter pounder ass.
Like, I'm just gonna stay out of this conversation.
First off, Daniel Hernandez looks like, I don't even know how to describe what he looks like without getting bleeped.
You want to lose?
No, I don't want to lose yet.
This is the hill you want to die on.
I don't want to die on a hill. Wow, English. I don't want to die on this hill, even though I get a Mexican pass. First off, Brown people make your food in California, okay? We pick your strawberries, we get your lettuce, we work hard, we don't give a fuck, all right? We get there, we clean your toilets. I'm pretty sure a Mexican in fucking El Segundo random ass toilet just cleaning it up because that's how we roll has no idea who the fuck Tekashi 6ix9ine is. Like, Tekashi who? Like, I don't know him. I've never heard of him. He's listening to like some Spanish and watching Univision. That's what the fuck he's doing. He doesn't know who Daniel Hernandez is. He's like, Daniel Hernandez, that's my neighbor. Like, deadass, there's a million Daniel Hernandezes out there who aren't rainbow face, scar face bullshit who's gonna get, you know, drop the soap a little bit in jail.
Yeah.
So, Vince, you live in Long Beach. Do you have any idea how many Mexicans live in Long Beach?
He has Mexican friends.
He has But then he said, I have Mexican friends.
It was
dog.
Only the second most this racist is... thing to happen this week because Justin Trudeau also happened this week.
So we can add Vince Staples to the Hard Horror Award for saying, I have Mexican friends. That's what it pissed me off. Because this fool, that was over, oh, I have Mexican friends. That'd be like me saying the N-word and say, Dan's my friend.
I mean, it wasn't, to be fair, it wasn't as close to like the N-word. It's saying Mexicans need to apologize for Daniel Hernandez.
Black people gotta apologize for the entire genre of trash!
So, someone went in Vince Staples' DMs, and Vince Staples loves it, and said, why don't you apologize for R. Kelly? To which Vince Staples said, we've been apologizing for R. Kelly! We can't stop apologizing for R. Kelly! Which is not completely true.
Which is not true, because
all the black people who depend on R. Kelly are all black.
Exactly. Like, how many people are like, R. Kelly didn't do it, and then your blacker's like, the ace of spades.
Yeah. How many people are like, then how much does women want to get? Like you know they got paid, right?
Exactly.
They said all this shit. They're trying to ruin a good man's career.
Exactly.
He can dance, he can sing.
Michael Jackson. How many black people are apologizing for his uppity ass switching races ass?
You gotta be fucking fair, right? So let's fucking audio face keep him on.
I'm apologizing for shit. Rammstein, no Daniel Hernandez. I am apologizing for shit.
Okay, so we're gonna like pan in very closely. This is the first. You skipped the best one.
Oh wait, it went up. Oh, yeah. Daddy.
So Moby has a new neck tattoo. It says "Vegan for Life" on his neck because he saw the whole Tekashi 6ix9ine thing. He wanted to get in the news for something other than sexually assaulting Donald Trump, and so he has decided to get this tattoo.
Moby, you are sucking dick in the corner in the streets of fucking some gay nightclub in Alabama because you're ashamed of your family and your life, and you're blowing dudes into your nostrils and it's coming out of your ears. Gay. Vegan for life on your neck. That is horrible. All right, context. I'm a vegetarian. I've been a vegetarian for almost 9 years. I love that shit. Like, vegan, what? I understand it. Plenty of vegan friends. If you get it, like, I've seen some vegan tattoos that are okay, it's whatever. I think it's kind of whack. That is the stupidest fucking tattoo I've seen in a long time, and that's saying something, because you got to tat it on your neck. First off, Moby's wider than fucking, I don't even know, Ritz
crackers.
Oh, yeah,
this is also like, this is like incredible.
First off, that is the widest thing you can do, too.
It's incredible, one of the widest honestly, things you because can like, do. I didn't think Moby could get wider.
I lost.
Oh, you're completely lost.
I lost. I've been vegan for almost 32 years. Fucking congratulations. Do you want a presidential honor, medal of honor, freedom? So getting this tattoo seemed like a pretty safe bet.
Fucking cock gobbling.
Queef burger.
Cock goggling tofu burger queefing dick muncher.
That's a new one. Bleep, 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 bleep.
Fucking Gardein out the anus.
So what is it? A peanut butter jelly and sandwich.
A peanut butter jelly and Morningstar sandwich. No, this is why
Actually, low-key sounds bomb. So, I'm gonna try that.
Fucking stunner. So this is the thing about, this is the vegan for life thing. It made me want to actually start a Kickstarter campaign called Let Me Raise Enough Money to Take Moby's Wife Out on a Date. Because I think we need to cuck Gavin Newsom's, we need to cuck Moby's wife like Gavin Newsom.
I want Dan and I to Eiffel Tower her on film.
Consensually,
Eiffel Towering in the DP consensually, and then send it to him. Be like, what do you think now?
Yeah.
With the vegan ass.
You would probably get another one that says cuck for life, too. Like, this photo created Trump supporters.
Moby needs to kill himself after that. What can you do? First off, he doesn't make good music anymore. His music before was actually pretty good, but he's done some really weird things, you know, with people and then underage and shit. Now you have vegan for life on your neck, and
I mean, this tattoo says he's like hopping on dick like it's Mario Brothers. Like it's fucking mushrooms.
Right, he dropped the hard R. That's it. The audio face over. This has been audio face. All right, now we got a few more. No. Yeah, I sound like my grandpa. We're done. I'm not gonna say that. I don't even
like
say
Super
that.
Mario mushrooms, my guy. Okay, so
mushroom head dicks. Get the helmet. He's gonna polish that helmet. Anyway, bleep the whole segment. So a student was charged with making terroristic threats after writing Tyler the Creator lyrics. The lyrics are, and I quote, "Kill people, burn shit, fuck school" from Radicals.
Yeah, it's a 2011 song from Goblin. It's like a Tyler the Creator classic. Like literally, it was the mantra. It was what
I didn't even like. That's why I didn't like Tyler the Creator.
It was back when Tyler the Creator has like reflected on him being incendiary just for like the fuck of it and how
exactly.
He has kind of grown from that. Oh,
I mean,
part
then
of his life.
You had Igor, which is fantastic, but this one is pretty bad, and especially the time where school shootings are pretty common, you know, just ask.
You know, Jesus Christ.
Beat that.
Yeah,
please.
But to be fair, if there's any high school that deserves to be shot up and have like kids' spleens thrown on the 800 building, it should be. That entire thing's getting bleeped out for several reasons that I kind of knew to the podcast, actually. But, I mean, how was Tyler the Creator supposed to know that kill people, burn shit, fuck school?
How many school shooters was Marilyn Manson was credited for? I'm saying credited for. But this shooting is brought to you by Tyler the Creator.
Rush Limbaugh was basically three Oxycontin away from saying there's Adolf Hitler, then there's Marilyn Manson.
Oh, I mean, in the 90s, oh, he loved that shit, man. Don't tell me he wouldn't suck Marilyn Manson's cock any second.
Along with one of those Cuban is after.
First off, fuck Theresa May? Yes.
Yeah, because Tyler the Creator was banned from the UK, actually, because of his previously incendiary lyrics. But Tyler the Creator's back because Theresa May is out and replaced by Boris Johnson. And by the time this podcast is listened to a month and a half from now, that's probably going to be a different name.
It's going to be different now.
Because the UK is a banana republic and the US is somehow dumber. So fuck the English. Apparently the inbred German DNA does not work well in the long term.
They're all Germans.
Didn't get banned.
Didn't get banned. So this is where we get super deluxe banned. We're not going to talk about this segment half the time. So Azalea Banks, apparently she wrote a song about executing Elon Musk.
Azalea Banks for the Vince Staples Woke Award.
I mean, we have an award called the Guillotine.
The Gilded Guillotine Award for being too rich for your own good. It's been a little bit light this year, at least in the music world.
But she's right on Elon because I'm gonna go on a tangent right here about Tesla. All right, this whole thing's getting bleeped.
This is the Seneca 23 auto report.
All right, I'm a car guy, right? I'm a yield guy.
We're both car guys.
We're car guys, right? The Porsche Taycan, you know, God love my
dreams. Oh, this is not the Nürburgring?
Not even just about the Nürburgring. That's just the fucking tip of his iceberg.
No, it's like, let's put a pin in that.
Let's put a pin in that. We will return to this after these messages. First off, the Taycan came out. Beautiful car. All electric. Jesus, you know, because Germans, we make good shit. That's how we roll. Anyways, then Elon got a little butthurt pixie dust boy because he's like, oh my God, someone's gonna make a car better than mine because I have to have the best EV, even though he made the same car over and over again for the past 6 years that hasn't changed. It's dog shit. You don't let people work on it. There's a reason we call it Tesla flatbeds, and your crowdfunding base of Tesla Elon supporters are literal cancer, stage 4 pancreatic cancer of an audience. Because when the Taycan came out, give it the specs, there's reviewers who did it, they could drive it at, it would be like 3 seconds, 0 to 60 time, and you can repeat it over and over and over again without the battery heating up, which has always been a problem with Teslas. Then his fans just jumped on that shit and was saying how much better a Model S is, how, oh, that's so unaffordable. Fuckers, it's $10,000 more than a Model S. Fuck off with you, it's affordable. A Model 3 is not $30,000. That shit costs you $45,000.
A Model 3 is never $35,000.
It's $45,000 minimum. Anyways, then these fuckers go on the Nürburgring because...
Also, let me just like point out the fact that Elon Musk abuses his employees, is a complete total shitbag, and needs to be like electrotherapy shocked by the power of 3,000 superchargers. But let's continue.
It's over 9,000. He needs to get shocked by his own EV. I'm down. He needs to die by Tesla.
get old Kevin Hart.
Okay, You know the whole Edison versus Tesla thing?
Yeah.
Elon Musk is Edison. The irony of it, because he steals people's ideas. Because Tesla isn't his idea, technically.
Of course.
It's because it was the guy who split off and made a different company, and then he's suing and shit because, you know, he can't do that shit.
Suing Elon Musk is like kind of what you do at some point when you live in California.
And then there's the Nürburgring. So Nürburgring, which is a suicidal track that my people made in Bavaria and killed Niki Lauda.
It's the proving ground for like any stupid car you want.
Exactly, any car to get tests on the Nürburgring. It's always kind of the test of
how fast.
Exactly, the giant. They took the Nordschleife route, which is the giant ass track of I'm gonna die any corner. And it broke the EV record. It's like the fastest four-door EV. Meanwhile, over in Tesla headquarters, Los Angeles, California, where they go, oh my God.
Elon Musk is like furiously masturbating.
He's just jizzing into the battery of a Model X because a Model X is worse than an RDX.
No, that's his coping mechanism because he got off Twitter.
That's true. Anyways, they broke the record. Stock tires, stock car, nothing special because they're just saying this is how nice our car actually is. Tesla goes over and needs to break the record. They put on special tires, completely redo the car, which is not even normal
spec. They take out four of the fucking seats
to make it like it beat it by like 5 seconds.
Barely
beat it. It is like, we have the record. All the Tesla fanboy keyboard warriors go like this and literally go, Tesla better. Oh my God, we can do this because they're all cucks and like Xena black dude. Because that's all they do in the weekend. Also rip. So it doesn't even beat the record because it's not legitimate.
Right.
They did a special car for the Nürburgring. Meanwhile, while Porsche's like, this is our car. This is how we do it. And it's that. So Elon Musk, kill thyself. This has been Audio Face.
This has been Audio Face episode 113. If for some reason you made it through that, and you want to follow us on Instagram or Twitter, these are the following ways in which you can do that. I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the web and on Instagram at Dan from the internet. If you found something upsetting with something I said, you should direct those DMs to SW Suarez on Twitter and Instagram.
if I said anything bad, you could go from at Dan from the web on Instagram or on Twitter and Dan from the internet.
If he said anything bad, you should directly DM and follow Audio Face Pod on Twitter and Instagram. I denounce, repudiate, and condemn most of the things that were said, but if it means I get torpedoed in my job, ole, ole, ole. Thank you for listening. And
we hit the curtains.
And we will talk to you in the next episode, probably. Oh God, Kanye West is next week.
Oh God damn that.
And with Daniel Hernandez, Operation is completed. Thank you for watching. We'll return next week. Bye.
That was a dumb.